it's a special place. We get people from all over, and the single comment that I hear the most is, I've lived here my entire life and I've never been here. So I am super passionate about trying to protect it and preserve it and trying to create a sustainable future. Crystal Cove is a perfect place to come down and kind of recharge and be one with nature.
Good morning, I'm Tommy Halm, and welcome to another edition of Tree Huggers International from the studios of KBZT, FM 94.9 in San Diego. Tree Huggers International is a weekly natural science and environmental affairs program dedicated to the preservation of parks, wilderness, and special places. From the beaches, to the mountains, to the deserts, this is Tree Huggers International. Be careful, and use the show with caution. Because you might just learn something. Ever since I began this program, I've referred to California state parks as the envy of the nation. And while California's national parks and national monuments defy superlatives and are some of the grandest in the nation, California state parks also hold a bounty of national park-worthy sites, vistas, and resources, from Anza Borrego to Montaña de Oro and Henry Coe, to the network of Redwood State Parks along the North Coast. California State Parks also go a long way preserving the history of the Golden State, from a park celebrating Southern California's long-gone citrus empire in Riverside, to one of the first African-American communities in the Central Valley at Colonel Allensworth State Historic Park in Tulare County, to the beginning of California's gold rush at Sutter's Mill along the American River. Unfortunately, California State Parks remain faced with the same threats of closure they faced in previous years. The failure of Proposition 21 in November has forced California State Parks to again consider alternate sources of funding and look for even more places to cut. And Governor Brown has made it clear he intends to spread the pain of budget cuts across the board, including California State Parks. Well, joining us today to talk not only about looming cuts for California State Parks, but also the California State Park Foundation's annual Earth Day event is our good friend, Sarah Feldman, Vice President for Programs at the California State Parks Foundation. And joining Sarah is someone new to the program. We're very happy to have her here today, Laura Davick. Laura is the founder and the Director of External Affairs of the Crystal Cove Alliance, and is the primary reason Crystal Cove and that sliver of Orange County coastline between Newport Beach and Laguna Beach remains as is, when it was a tranquil community of small homes and cottages, now preserved along with El Morro Canyon as Crystal Cove State Park. Sarah, Laura, welcome to Tree Huggers International. It is very nice to have the two of you here today.
Great. It's great to be here.
Great to be here as always, Tommy.
And Sarah, it's nice having you here on a less dramatic occasion when Los Angeles is not burning down. Slightly less dramatic this time around.
Yes, the weather is beautiful in Los Angeles today and beautiful down here too. So it was a nice ride all the way.
And I think to most Californians, Sarah, the impression is Jerry Brown would be a friend of California State Parks. He certainly dedicated several parks as governor previously years ago, but he's made it clear that he's going to cut wherever he can in conjunction with the legislature across the board. And I'm just wondering if there was any preemptive outreach to the incoming Brown administration during the transition.
Well, I think it's fair to say that certainly we've had some discussions and we have taken the opportunity to send his staff and him our Park Excellence Project report, which was just recently released and really provides a great overview of our vision for state parks, not just us, but the many, many people that we worked with and consulted with and did focus groups with to help create that report. And our impression is that Governor Brown really does care about parks and sees parks as an important public benefit, but he is struggling with a humongous deficit, and he definitely has penciled in a $22 million cut for state parks, which on top of the cuts that state parks has taken over the last decade or so, particularly in the last 4 or 5 years, is going to have some pretty profound effects.
California State Parks, along with many other state agencies, etc., have really seen their budgets just being chipped down to nothing. And it really seems to be, for a while, California State Parks have been operating down to the bone as it is.
It's true. I mean, even right now, there are over 60 partial closures of state parks, or even seasonal closures, like, for instance, at Antelope Valley. Restrooms closed, maintenance cuts, and lifeguard staff cutbacks. I mean, it's a very challenging time, and they are definitely to the bone, and $22 million is going to have a significant effect. We do not have a closure list yet. We're expecting one momentarily. We know it's going to be substantial, and we know there's going to be an impact.
Have there been any discussions between conservancies or community groups willing to take on management of some state parks, which may be closed?
We at the foundation are beginning to, along with many of our partners, to start to explore this topic. There are a lot of constraints. There's a lot of capacity issues. There are 278 state parks, a significant number of which don't even have nonprofit groups that support them. However, we are looking at a lot of different possibilities, and probably in the next several months we'll start coming out with some more concrete plans and proposals. I think that there are some really good models out there already about the way nonprofits work with state parks, and Crystal Cove is very much one of them. So I think Laura can give a really good example of how a successful nonprofit state park partnership has come about.
Yeah, and Laura, I definitely want to talk about the Crystal Cove Alliance. And I was wondering, could you speak perhaps, do you have any data on maybe the kind of money that goes back into the local economy by virtue of Crystal Cove State Park being there? There was a great study done by Sacramento State a couple of years ago during one of the potential rounds of closures, which really showed the money going back into local economies was almost double the amount that was put in by the state.
Yes, and at Crystal Cove, we have a slightly different model there. We're one of the approximately 80 cooperating associations within the state of California state park system. So we're a cooperating association, so that means we're the nonprofit partner with California State Parks. Through that, we raise funds for restoration, education, maintenance. But we also have something unique, and we were one of the first cooperating associations to actually be awarded a concession contract. So what that means is that when the cottages were opening up back in 2006, State Parks was looking for someone to manage the overnight rentals and food service. So we created a subsidiary of Crystal Cove Alliance called Crystal Cove Beach Cottages, which is a for-profit entity. And then we brought in a food partner, which is also a sub concession of ours. So all that being said, what we have is we have collectively between these three groups, Crystal Cove Alliance, Crystal Cove Beach Cottages, and our food partner, 12% coming off of gross receipts. Now, that amount of money stays right in the park to help fund restoration education. So we're creating something sustainable at Crystal Cove by being able to contribute back. And just so you know, in the last 4 years, that figure that we've contributed back is $5.6 million. Also, I have to say that Crystal Cove is not just like any other park. It's a very unique high visitation park in an area that is surrounded by, you know, a lot of, you know, urbanization. But we do have in progress right now a restoration project, which is $5.7 million that we've raised. So we aggressively raise funds for this project.
So I think something we can take from this is that it takes a combination of factors. There's a concession factor, there's a philanthropy factor, there's the community factor. This is probably if not the most successful model in the whole state park system. And I think it's very instructive. It teaches us a lot about how things can work. But of course, parks that don't have as high visitation, that don't have the potential for, say, a significant food concessionaire, we'll have to look at different models. It's not one size fits all. And no matter how successful we are, what I really want to stress is, and by we, I mean everyone, the cooperating associations, our fellow nonprofits, the foundation, and the Department of Parks and Recreation, all of us, no matter how successful we are in our efforts, nothing is ever going to replace fully the public investment that the state government has in the past, and decreasingly so, put into maintaining our state parks, which are, after all, for the public benefit and, you know, represent the finest in our state in terms of our land, in our history, and our beaches, our mountains, our deserts, etc. You know, the whole issue of conservation, that's what California state parks are all about. And there is no one solution. Maybe we can in the future, once we understand exactly what's going to happen, maybe we can help ameliorate the damage, but we cannot eliminate it, yeah. Not without adequate state support.
The parks are gifts, not burdens. I think people tend to lose sight of that. These are really valuable treasures that we have. And economically, they, in places like in Gold Country or in the North Coast where you don't have the timber industry that you used to, those parks really do fuel a lot of local economies.
Oh, they absolutely do. And there are many other examples, too. I mean, look at the city of Cambria near Hearst Castle. I don't think it would exist without Hearst Castle, which is a state park. Many local economies depend on the state park that's in their community.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're at a time and a place in time right now where this is really going to require raising awareness for the importance of preserving these lands. And I think that, you know, oftentimes people will come down to Crystal Cove and they'll say, well, you know, this is a state park. Clearly, you don't need to raise any funds here. Isn't the state funding this? And it's like,
if
no,
only.
Heck no, they're not. But I think that it's really important that everyone in the community really reach out to their parks at these times and try and help and get involved in some way as a member or making some small donation, because these are our lands. They're all of our lands, and we all need to be vigilant about protecting and preserving them.
The California State Parks Foundation's 14th annual Earth Day Restoration and Cleanup event, that's coming up on April the 16th. 14 years now, but why was the program started? Where was there a need for parks to have a lot of active volunteers and cleanups?
I think at the time we started it, there was a need, and there were a lot of people who were indicating interest in being active in their community in terms of reaching out to their local state park and working there. And we saw it as a great way to connect people with the state park that was located in their community. Over the years, as funding has been cut and cut and cut, it's become more of a really utilitarian and urgent kind of program where the projects are done not just because it's a great volunteer experience, but also because the parks really need volunteers. In fact, the State Parks Foundation has started a relatively new program that we're actually looking at bringing to Crystal Cove State Park. We're in very early discussions on this, called Park Champions, which is basically, we think of Park Champions as Earth Day year-round, because we see the need for volunteers to be working, doing things like restoration and trail maintenance and fence building and all of those kinds of projects. It is more intense than it was in the past. And again, volunteers can make such a significant difference in helping parks. They can't completely change the situation. There are many functions of state parks that have to be carried out by professionals, law enforcement,
yeah.
But there are a lot of functions that volunteers can really help with and really make a significant difference. And Earth Day on April 16th is definitely one of those occasions, along with our Park Champions program.
Are there any particular parks or sites which are really needing some TLC this year?
Sure. We have quite a few sites in both Orange County and San Diego. In San Diego, in Cuyamaca, which, as you know, is impacted by the fires, although the worst of it is over, there are still very significant impacts. So there's going to be a lot of trail restoration and fencing projects at Cuyamaca. At Palomar Mountain, this is a really interesting one. They're going to be restored. The Earth Day volunteers are being asked to help restore an apple orchard. Needs a lot of cleanup, a lot of fencing, a lot of weeding, mulching, trimming. It's a beautiful apple orchard, and I think that's really a fun kind of project. At San Alejo and also at South Carlsbad, there's going to be habitat restoration and beach cleanup. Volunteers are going to plant native plants. And at Torrey Pines, there's going to be trail maintenance and beach cleanup. And then there are a number of others in Orange County, San Onofre, which is rests right on the line between San Diego and Orange County. And many of your listeners will remember the major battle over the toll road there.
We had to fight to save that place, yeah.
Yes, we did. there's going to be native plant restoration and graffiti removal. This is something that has become an issue at San Onofre, unfortunately. Yeah. There will be projects at Crystal Cove, Doheny, and San Clemente State Beaches. So all up and down the coast, mainly in Orange County, but both inland and on the coast in San Diego County.
And who wouldn't want to spend a day in one of those places, huh? If you haven't been out there before, what a great opportunity to go and do this.
You know, every one of these sites is a beautiful, beautiful place in and of itself. And to be able to go there and actually do some work and feel like you've really made a contribution adds so much to the experience of visiting the park.
Real quickly, there's also a corollary to the Earth Day restoration and cleanup, and that's the Earth Day Grants Program.
For each of these sites, we give grants in order to carry out the projects that I've just described. We raise the money from sponsors, different companies that support this effort. In this year, we have support from the Southern California Gas Company and also from Southern California Edison in Southern California. So those monies that we raise, we grant back to the park in the form of Earth Day grants, and that's what really helps run the program.
If you're just joining us, this is Tree Huggers International, broadcast from the studios of KBZT, FM 94.9 in San Diego. I'm Tommy Howe, and we're joined in the studio today by Sarah Feldman, Vice President for Programs at the California State Parks Foundation, and also Laura Davick, the President and Founder of the Crystal Cove Alliance. We're talking about this year's Earth Day and Restoration Cleanup. It's happening Saturday, April the 16th, in celebration of Earth Day in California State Parks. You can join volunteers of all ages to plant trees, restore trails, and clean waterways at California State Parks. For a site near you, you can go to the California State Park Foundation's website at www.calparks.org. That's calparks.org, calparks.org. You can also call 1-888-98-PARKS. That's 1-888-98-PARKS. And again, the website is www.calparks.org.
Right. I'd really encourage people to go to the website. It's a very highly designed website, so very user-friendly. You can pull up all the details on any project you're interested in. You can register online. You have to sign, some documents as a volunteer. You can download them, print them out, and bring them with you and save time. CalParks.org is a great place to go for Earth Day. And you can take a look at Park Champions there as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of good information at that website, CalParks.org. Also, more information on Laura and the Crystal Cove Alliance can be found at CrystalCoveAlliance.org. Again, that's CrystalCoveAlliance.org. And Laura, not only did you grow up at Crystal Cove, your parents actually met at Crystal Cove. And I don't think people often realize this when they're flying by on the Pacific Coast Highway at 65 miles an hour, that there's this remarkable historic district there of all these cottages built in the 1920s and 30s. Is that when most of them were built?
Yes. Uh-huh. They evolved through that period of time. And it was actually an area that was originally used to create a lot of the early black and white and silent films before the cottages were there. Then the cottages evolved, and they've been there since the early 20s and 30s. It's listed on the National Register of Historic Places, and it also received the 2007 Governor's Award for Historic Preservation. So if you haven't been there, I would encourage you to come on down and check it out. There is a tour that I lead once a month, which is a lot of fun. It's the second Saturday of every month. It's from 10 to 12, and you meet over at the Los Trancos parking lot, and the tour is free. So we'd love for you to come on down.
And it's a tour of the historic district and some of the more notable buildings?
Yes, it's a tour of the historic district. We take you back in time, talk about the past, the present and the future, tour you through our marine research facility, and show you some of the very interesting educational venues that we have.
Now, the Crystal Cove Alliance began as the Alliance to Rescue Crystal Cove because about 10 years ago, there was grave concern about some development going on there.
Yes, there was. I formed the organization in 1999 in reaction to the contract that existed to create a luxury resort there. It was a 60-year lease. The contract was for 60 years, and it was in its fifth year at the time.
So did the state own the land at that time?
Yes, it became a state park in 1979. Prior to that, it was owned by the Irvine family and the Irvine Company for about 100 years, originally part of the Irvine Ranch.
Mm-hmm. Has El Morro Canyon always been a part of that park as well? And was there concern about development going on there, or was it mostly just in the area along the beach on those bluffs?
The area of concern was in the historic district. El Morro Trailer Park, formerly the trailer park, was there for decades. And now State Parks is moving forward with opening up maybe one of the last campgrounds that you'll see along the coast of California. And that's scheduled to open this summer. So there'll be 60 campsites there for both RVs and tent camping. And it's just going to be an amazing experience.
I actually had a tour of it just a few weeks ago. And I have to say, it's stupendous. It's a really nice campground. And I also have to say, having taken Laura's tour, that I cannot recommend it too highly. It's Crystal Cove is a really, really special place. You know, I think Laura's passion for Crystal Cove is a passion you can find echoed in so many parks, so many people who care deeply about the system as a whole, but also about their park, the park that they work in and that they volunteer at. I think it's a really special attribute and benefit that State Parks enjoys that is almost kind of unique to State Parks. I don't think that most regional or municipal parks, people use them and they love them and they appreciate them, but they usually don't have the kind of profound beauty or natural wonders that make State Parks such incredibly special places.
That's why they were set aside as state parks in the first place.
That's right, you know? Yeah.
I remember being at Henry Coe State Park a couple of years ago, and I met a woman who was volunteering there. And Henry Coe is in the hills above Morgan Hill, south of San Jose. She drove every day down from Palo Alto to go volunteer there. And that is not a short drive. And that really amazed me, the length to which she would go to connect with her park and actually volunteer and interact with visitors there. And Laura, speaking of passion for a park, as I understand it, you actually crawled through pipes of one of the old structures there to prove that there was runoff from a development that was polluting some of the area there. Can you talk about that?
Well,
am I making you blush?
A little bit. Back in 1999, before I really started working against the resort plan, I did crawl up this pipe. And had I known I was going to get so much attention, I would have done it much sooner. But my friends say it was my defining moment. At any rate, there was some water quality issues associated with some developments up above that have now since been cleaned up. But I kept seeing this runoff coming across the beach in about seven places, and I knew it had not been there when I grew up. Over the years, it had just started. So at any rate, yes, and everything down there now at Crystal Cove is pristine and clear. It's one of the 34 areas along our coast of special biological significance, and the watershed has been greatly improved. So it was a lot of fun, though. I enjoyed that part.
Talk to me for just a moment about growing up there, because your parents met there in 1940, is that correct?
Yeah, well, my mother's family came in 1937, and then she met my father there in 1940. They were tent campers, and one of her girlfriends had one of the cottages there. And so in 1960, when I was a year old, my mother and father received a phone call, and the call was, would you like to take over the lease of our cottage? And lucky for me, that happened. But my family was there in cottage number two for 40 years.
Wow.
So it's a huge part of me and of my family, and we've had four generations of our family have been there. So I am super passionate about trying to protect it and preserve it and trying to create a sustainable future for the future of Crystal Cove.
And I don't mean for this to be sort of a simple-minded question, but could you talk just for a moment about how the coastline there along Orange County has changed during that time? I mean, Laguna seems to have some restraints, it seems, on how it grows. I can't speak for Newport, though, but obviously there's much more along that coast than there used to be. The only sliver of non-development along the Orange County coastline seems to be right about there.
Right. You know, it's Crystal Cove State Park, we're so very fortunate to have it, is 3.2 miles of just pristine coastline for the entire public to come down and enjoy. When you get into Corona del Mar, Newport, Laguna, it's primarily all gated communities, and access to the beach is really difficult. But Crystal Cove is a perfect place to come down and kind of recharge and be one with nature. We've got, you know, families that come down, you know, weekend after weekend, and some that try and, you know, stay in our cottages on a regular basis. But it's a special place. We get people from all over, and the single comment that I hear the most is, I've lived here my entire life and I've never been here. When did this happen? And well, it happened about 80 years ago. But it's been a well-kept secret. It is a special place. It's just magical.
And it's great that El Morro Canyon is preserved as well. That's another kind of unique resource you find these days along the coast. Usually it's filled with homes and houses and everyone trying to get a piece of the view.
Yes, this new campground is really going to be a wonderful addition to the park, and also connecting to the other backcountry areas, connecting up to the Irvine Ranch Conservancy properties and the Laguna Canyon properties, and connecting all of those wildlands will be wonderful.
Yeah, getting some of those wildlife corridors is really important to places as urbanized as Orange County.
That's actually what our Park Champions program is talking with the Department of Parks and Recreation about, is trail maintenance and wildlife corridors and volunteers working in that backcountry up behind the camping area where the main trailhead is. It's a really important area, and there's a lot of impact to the trails, frankly, just from usage. So many people hike there, people ride their bikes there. There's a lot of usage back there, a lot of what are called volunteer trails, which are essentially trails that are made by people going off trail. Mm-hmm. And the park is very concerned with making sure that it's safe and that native habitat is maintained. And again, I stress that anyone who's interested in Earth Day or Park Champions, or both if you're really a glutton for punishment, is to come to our website at www.calparks.org. All the information is up there, very easily accessible, easy to link to, and you can take a look and see if there's something going on in your neighborhood. Earth Day's on April 16th. We have 35 sites throughout California, so many thousands of volunteers will be turning out. You'll be in good company, and I urge everyone to come to the website and sign up and join in. It's actually really a lot of fun.
This summer, we're going to be opening up our Phase 2 restoration project, so we will have lots going on. At this time, the weekend of June 18th is targeted for this grand opening, but we'll have a lot of fun activities for everyone to become part of. So I'd love to invite you down for that. Come down and join me on my tour, and visit our website for more information.
Second Saturday of the month.
Second Saturday of the month, every month except for Christmas. And at Christmas time, we have the tree lighting, so you can come down and see the Christmas tree on the beach.
We'll take advantage of Laura's tour at Crystal Cove's historic district. Well, Sarah, it was good having you back. And Laura, thank you for coming down as well. And it's really great to have a steward like yourself looking out for a great resource like Crystal Cove. And as I said, especially in an area as urbanized as Orange County, people in Orange County really need access to that.
Yes, it's important. And thanks for helping us by raising awareness for the importance of protecting our California state parks.
Sarah Feldman, Laura Davick, great having you on the program today. Have a safe drive back. Thanks for coming on the program, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for having
thank
us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, that's going to wrap things up for this week's edition of Tree Huggers International. Thanks once again to Sarah Feldman from the California State Parks Foundation and Lauren Davick, the president and founder of the Crystal Cove Alliance. Now, the California State Park Foundation's Earth Day Restoration and Cleanup, that's happening Saturday, April the 16th. You can join volunteers of all ages to plant trees and restore trails and clean waterways at California State Parks from Crescent City all the way down to San Diego, and you can find a complete list of volunteer sites and times at calparks.org. That's www.calparks.org. Now, in Southern California, sites are located in San Diego, San Bernardino, Orange, Ventura, and Los Angeles counties. Individuals, groups, or businesses interested in volunteering on Earth Day, you still can register at calparks.org or by calling 1-888-98-PARKS. That's 1-888-98-PARKS, P-A-R-K-S. And once again, the website for the California State Parks Foundation is www.calparks.org. More information on the Crystal Cove Alliance can be found at www.crystalcovealliance.org. That's crystalcovealliance.org. The opinions and views expressed on Tree Huggers International do not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of the staff and management of FM 94.9 or Lincoln Financial Media. And as producer, I am solely responsible for this program's content. Questions, complaints, concerns, compliments, you can email me at tommy@fm949sd.com. And for more information on Tree Huggers International and to hear previous editions of the show, go to the Tree Huggers International website at treehuggersintl.com. That's treehuggersintl.com. You can also access the Tree Huggers International page via the FM 94.9 website at www.fm949sd.com. Also, find Tree Huggers International on Twitter and Facebook, and our Twitter address is at treehuggersintl. Tree Huggers International content is now also available on iTunes. This is Tommy Howe for Tree Huggers International from the studios of KBZT, FM 94.9 in San Diego. We'll be back same time next Sunday morning with another take on natural science and environmental affairs as we continue our mission to preserve parks, wilderness, and special places on Tree Huggers International. Thanks for making us a part of your Sunday morning, and enjoy the rest of your weekend. Be well.